T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a problem unless you address it now, because what it suggests is that you have a lentil problem, which is common, but still bad. The good news, American Standard Foundation, they can fix it for you. They offer a lentil lift, which is the only patented system for lentil repairs. They can fix everything without having to rebuild your entire garage door area. It could save you thousands of dollars. Now, I understand that if you see those cracks, your instincts might be to just ignore them, the same way in lots of ways. But trust me, it's a dumb approach to this very specific problem, because once you see the cracks, the real damage is on the way. Could be weeks, could be months, but the real damage is coming, so you need to attack it before things get worse, or you can wait, but then you're going to have a very expensive problem on your hands. So when you pull into your home, look above your garage, see if you see cracks. I hope you don't, but if you do, contact ASFR and get a free quote for the patented lintel lift repair solution. Just visit asfoundationrepair.com, click the lintel lift tab, or give them a call, 901-390-5568.
Data message rates apply. National contest. Money. It's radio.com cash time. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
All right, you got a chance to win $1,000 right now by texting the word PRINT, P-R-I-N-T. Text PRINT to 72881 for your chance to win a grand with 92.9 in our radio.com cash contest. Again, text PRINT, P-R-I-N-T. To 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000. Your next chance to win a grand will happen tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. But right now, text PRINT, P-R-I-N-T, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee, Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions. And I hope if you ever end up as manager of the LA Dodgers, and you could, I mean, job could open, given what happened last night. I hope you learn from other people's mistakes in the past and refuse. Just flat out refuse to use Clayton Kershaw out of the bullpen, because it's a nice idea in theory, I guess, but there's a growing amount of evidence that suggests it just doesn't work, and last night was the worst of a bunch of bad performances in the postseason. Back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches. Takes a 3-1 Dodger lead, turns it into a 3-3 tie. Dodgers ultimately lose in extra innings. And now it's Nationals Cardinals in the NLCS. The Dodgers, with 106 wins, are done for the season. People are questioning Dave Roberts. People are questioning Clayton Kershaw. We'll get into it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Jay Billis is a college basketball analyst for ESPN. He was in Memphis yesterday, spending time on campus with Penny Hardaway. So what did he learn about the Memphis program and Penny Hardaway with his time here in the city? I'll talk to Jay Billis about that, and I'll also ask him about the name, image, and likeness debate, because he's a smart guy on that subject. His old coach, Mike Krzyzewski, came out in favor of student-athletes profiting off of their name, image, and likeness earlier this week. Jay Billis will join me 425. When I finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, at which point I'm going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Game 5 of the ALDS between the Rays and Astros is tonight. Houston, a big favorite behind Gerrit Cole. We'll get into that story around 444. Zion Williamson was awesome again last night. Had 29 points in a preseason win for New Orleans. 12 of 13 from the field. Turns out, the way nobody could stop him in high school or college, it looks like maybe nobody can stop him in the NBA either, at least in NBA preseason games. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Things are still weird between the NBA and China. A reporter from CNN tried to get James Harden and Russell Westbrook to comment further on the situation earlier today. That didn't go well. NBA had to release a statement about that. Get into that story just before 5 o'clock. And the Memphis women's soccer team back on the pitch tonight. Road match, 12-1 right now, ranked 8th in the country. If you're looking for the highest ranked team on the University of Memphis campus, it ain't the football team or Penny's Tigers. It's the women's soccer team. Awesome stuff from Brooks Monahan and his roster. We'll get into that during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Right around 5:30, I'll talk to Ahmad Brooks, former Texas Longhorn turned ESPN color analyst. He's going to be on Memphis Temple Saturday on ESPN2. Ahmad Brooks will join me to talk about Memphis Temple about 5:30. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with last night's biggest thing in sports. Just an incredible turn of events inside Dodger Stadium. Poor Clayton Kershaw, future Hall of Famer, lived down to his postseason reputation. He came out of the bullpen. Dodgers up 3-1. By the time he left, he had recorded one out, but now it was 3-3. Allowed back-to-back homers in the eighth to Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto. The Dodgers eventually lose 7-3 in 10 innings after the Nationals get a grand slam off of Joe Kelly, and that's it. Dodgers, who were the favorite to make the World Series out of the National League, won 106 games in the regular season. Their season is done. And now before the NLCS, even though they led 3-1 in the eighth inning last night of a decisive Game 5 and had a Hall of Fame pitcher on the mound, they become the first team since 1969, which is when Major League Baseball expanded and added the LCS round. They become the first team since 1969 to win more than 104 games in the regular season, but then lose their first series of the postseason. So like I said, it's going to be Cardinals-Nationals now in the NLCS. Dodgers are done. Bennett, how was that for late-night baseball drama?
Well, it was it honestly made me uncomfortable to watch. I mean, I just got to be honest.
I felt bad for him.
Oh, dude.
I felt like not only do I have friends who are Dodgers fans, but I also have friends who are Nationals fans. So whatever. That's not really the point. Like, I felt sorry for Clayton Kershaw. I didn't just feel sorry for Dodgers fans. I felt sorry. And how about this? To be able to muster sympathy for someone who's made like $260 million.
Right.
Who makes $31 million a year right now. Like, he's 31 years old. He's already made $260 million. Like, he's going to make more than $300 million playing baseball,
mm-hmm.
barring a surprise. He's won 3 Cy Young Awards. He's an MVP. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Again, made $250 million already. And I felt sick for the guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely sick.
Well, especially because you're looking after the first home run, you're looking at Twitter because everyone's ready for it, right?
Like, they're waiting on hashtag playoff Kershaw to show up.
Yeah. And so the first home run, Twitter's like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. And then the second one happens like immediately, and it's just like Twitter blows
up. Oh, it's next pitch.
Yeah.
It's not only home runs to back to back hitters, it's home runs on back to back pitches.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's interesting. Like, there's a million different facts connected to Clayton Kershaw that are just wild to look at. This is one of them. In his entire career in the regular season, so he's obviously pitched way more in the regular season than he has in the postseason, mm-hmm. like everybody has. In his entire career in the regular season, Clayton Kershaw has never allowed home runs on back-to-back pitches. Never. Like, not once. He's done it twice now in the postseason. Most notably, last night, his regular season ERA for his career is 2.44. His postseason ERA now for his career, 4.43. Basically 2 runs higher. In 32 career postseason appearances now, he's 9-11 with a 4.43 earned run average. 9-11, 4.43 earned run average in the postseason in 32 career postseason appearances. And his ERA in the postseason for his career after the sixth inning. So if he's in the game seventh inning on, His ERA in the postseason is now 12.27, which is literally the worst in Major League Baseball history. Nobody in the history of the sport has ever been worse from the seventh inning on in the postseason than this guy, who is maybe, just maybe, one of the 10 best pitchers of all time, 15 best pitchers of all time, 20 best pitchers of all time. And yet the contrast between what he is games 1 through 162 and what he is when the bright lights come on could not be more drastic. So much so that even before last night happened, as you point out, people were waiting for last night to happen because playoff Kershaw is a thing and has been for years. Now, it doesn't mean he hasn't had great moments in the postseason. He has. But more often than not, he's been not close to what he normally is when he's pitching in October as opposed to May, June, July, whatever. And yet Dave Roberts goes to him in the seventh. Two on. It's 3-1. Two on. Two out. You go get Clayton Kershaw out of the bullpen. And even with all of the history that's connected to this, I tweeted this last night in real time, there's still nothing cooler than that moment. You're in a win-or-go-home situation, and you're bringing a Hall of Fame starter out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's my favorite thing about postseason baseball, when it's just sort of understood there is no tomorrow. We'll worry about tomorrow if we get there, but we'll do whatever we got to do to win this game. So earlier in the series, I guess it was game four, the Nationals bring in Max Scherzer out of the bullpen. Last night, the Nationals used Patrick Corbin out of the bullpen. Starters coming out of the bullpen in win-or-go-home situations is awesome drama. So when Dave Roberts goes and gets Clayton Kershaw, I'm like, this is terrific. Mm-hmm. Like, all I was hoping after the Cardinals just completely ran away from the Braves with a 10-run first inning yesterday, that we'd get compelling playoff baseball at night, and now, boy, here we are. And by the way, it didn't always look like it was going to be that. The Dodgers jumped on them quickly. Like, first inning, they go up. You got Walker Buehler. I'm like, okay, well, here we go. And give credit to Steven Strasburg. He didn't have his best stuff, and he got hit a little bit in that first inning, but he did what Fulton Evich couldn't do for Atlanta yesterday, which is, like, settle things and now just keep my team in the game. Like, he just got away from Atlanta very quickly.
Sure.
That 3-0, 4-0 turned into 6-0, 8-0, 10-0. It's over. Strasburg settled down and was like, okay, let me just keep my team hanging around. Keep them hanging around. And he keeps them hanging around, and here we go. You look up, seventh inning, two runners on, it's 3-1. Here comes Kershaw out of the bullpen. Dodger Stadium going nuts. Doesn't get any better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's boom, boom, boom. Strike 1, 2, 3, out of the inning. And if you're Dave Roberts at that point, and this isn't even Monday morning quarterbacking because there were people tweeting this last night, saying it in real time, that was it. Get him out. Because Clayton Kershaw is still terrific. He's not Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw anymore. It's just not who he is anymore. His name still resonates a little bit like Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not throwing the ball at 42 like he threw the ball at 36. He's just not. But it's still Tom Brady. You go ask the average football fan, who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to get a lot of votes now, reigning MVP. But people are still going to say Tom Brady, mm-hmm. even though he probably isn't right now one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. But people will still say it because it's Tom Brady. Clayton Kershaw's a little like that. He's still good, but he ain't Clayton Kershaw anymore. And so what some people thought last night was, okay, he got that. You brought him in, added a bullpen. Historically, not a great idea, but it worked. He got a strikeout. He got you out of the inning. You're going into bottom of the seventh, up 3-1. You will go into the top of the eighth no worse than 3-1. So they go into the top of the eighth, 3-1. Dave Roberts does, sends Kershaw back out there. And the explanation afterwards is that Juan Soto, the 20-year-old phenom, is due up second in the inning. And he wanted Kershaw on Soto for a lefty-lefty matchup there. But to get to Soto, you got to go through Anthony Rendon, who's an NL MVP candidate. And that's where you got a lefty-righty matchup. And then, of course, Rendon, I think, second pitch homers. Now it's 3-2. Well, now you've got the matchup that you kept Kershaw in the game for. But now Soto represents the tie and run, and Kershaw might be turning into playoff Kershaw right before our eyes.
He's rattled.
And before you got any time to sort of make sense of that, boom, 450-foot home run, and now you're tied 3-3. He goes out and gets Clayton Kershaw. And afterward, Kershaw said, because, again, the game goes to the 10th. I mean, it's really like Dave Roberts mishandled all that. Probably left Kershaw in too long. Definitely left Kershaw in too long. And then eventually gets to Joe Kelly. Probably leaves him in too long. So you end up losing in extra innings. And afterwards, Kershaw is asked about it. And he said, everything people say is true right now about the postseason. I understand that. Nothing I can do about it right now. It's a terrible feeling. It really is. And I bet you that's the first time in his life he's ever said that out loud. Because though playoff Kershaw has always been a thing, or it's been a thing for a while, the truth is it's such a small sample size that I think if you are Clayton Kershaw, and this is probably human nature, you never want to believe the worst things about yourself. You never want to believe the worst things about yourself or the worst things people think about you. And so you look for reasons to try to be dismissive of it or discount it or just swat it away. And if you're Clayton Kershaw, I would assume you go, yeah, people can make jokes if they want to, but it's a small sample size. Like, my career is my career. It speaks for itself. I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer, 3-time Cy Young Award winner. Yeah, I've, you know, given up runs I don't normally give up in the postseason. Sure, I've got a losing record in the postseason, but I'll focus on my entire career, not just the small sample size of games. It doesn't mean anything. If we can acknowledge in baseball people have good months and bad months and good seasons and bad seasons, well, then some of my poorer times have come in the postseason, but it's not a reflection of who I am or what I am. I bet you he has subscribed to that for the entirety of his career. That you could talk about playoff Kershaw and insist the guy you see in June is different than the guy you see in October, but I bet you he didn't believe it. And then there he is last night, after his 106-win team gets eliminated before the NLCS in a series where they were up 2-1 and had two opportunities to secure this thing and move on to play the Cardinals in the NLCS. There he is having to say, I guess what people say about me is true. Everything people say about Clayton Kershaw in the postseason, it's true. I understand that now. It's a hell of a thing to have to deal with. And if you ever get to a point where you're saying it out loud, I think it means you've gotten to a point where it is totally in your head. And that's something you've got to figure out or not. But if you're ever going to be in the postseason again, like, you're going to be placed on this stage. And the scrutiny will be even more intense. Because if you thought people were waiting last night for playoff Kershaw to show up, wait till next time he's in the playoffs.
Right.
It'll be a storyline heading into it before he starts game one, game two, game three, whatever he starts. And if he goes out and performs well, then people will just say, whatever. But they're just waiting for the next time when he doesn't perform well. Because now this is just as much a part of his story as anything is a part of his story. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think you could argue it's more of a part of his story. Because here's the truth. I've been doing this radio show 10 years, 11 years, however long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever spent the opening 20 minutes on Clayton Kershaw. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, 3-time Cy Young Award winner. None of that stuff registers the way last night registered. Major League Baseball playoffs on a Wednesday night where you don't have anything else distracting anybody else. No football to speak of. Preseason NBA, who cares? Like, all eyes are on you. And then you come out of that bullpen and people go, oh, here comes playoff Kershaw. And then it really does happen to a level that it had never happened before. Back-to-back homers. Take a 3-1 lead, turn it into a 3-3 tie. It ultimately leads to your team losing, being eliminated from the postseason in a way that had not happened in my lifetime. Just a remarkable night, really compelling night of baseball. And I do hope that Kershaw gets another opportunity, whether it's next year or 2 years from now, whenever, to try to, I don't know, just alleviate that reputation a little bit. Because if not, I do think that's the type of thing that would bother most people. I can't speak to Clayton Kershaw. I don't know him like that. But I think it's the type of thing that would bother most people to be so awesome at this thing that you do and yet have an incredible amount of evidence that suggests you're not good at it when it matters most, that you are exactly what your critics or skeptics think you are. Like, most people don't have to deal with that or even the possibility of that. Most people aren't awesome at anything. Like, most people are just, like, they're not awesome at anything. And I include myself in that. Like most of us just aren't awesome at anything. Mm-hmm. We just do the best we can. But to have a gift that allows you to be that awesome at that thing, like one of the best to ever do it, and yet the knock on you is that when the lights come on and the stakes are highest and all the chips are on the table, you can't do your job. And then you consistently prove those people right. And now you're saying it out loud. I guess what they say about me is true. That means it's way, way in your head. And again, I can't speak for Clayton Kershaw, but it strikes me as the type of thing that would bother you. Not make you cry yourself to sleep every night. Not make you put a gun in your mouth, but the type of thing that would eat at you forever, especially if you end up retiring with $300 million, three Cy Young Awards, an MVP, but no World Series. Because right now, that's the track that he's on, to retire with all the money in the world, all the individual awards, but no World Series ring. And you don't know how many good opportunities you're going to have at that. The Dodgers had a great opportunity at it this year and then completely squandered when their Hall of Fame pitcher could not get outs in the eighth inning. I'll talk more about this with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Jay Billis is a college basketball analyst for ESPN. He was on the Memphis campus yesterday spending time with Penny Hardaway. What did he learn? I'll talk to him about it next.
Radio.com cash is coming up. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Get the code and you could win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN.
Did you know overall job satisfaction is at its highest level in 15 years? Wow. 51%. Wait, what? That's barely half. Would you see a doctor with 51% patient satisfaction? No way. Yet 49% of you keep driving to that unsatisfying job. Why? You have options. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Mycomputercareer.edu.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to 7-Eleven and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Here's an equation you're really going to like. It all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $800 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until October 27th, you could even get $250 back when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile, each for $30 a month. You'll get internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement. And Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigabytes of shared wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/savebig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and auto pay. Internet offer ends 10/27/19. New performance internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply. Mobile savings compares to Verizon and AT&T plans. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
Hey, it's Eric Hasselton from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Hi there, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. If you're looking for a great place on a Thursday night, join us for tacos and tunes on our patio from 6:30 to 9:30. Enjoy the great atmosphere and live music as you relax on our downtown patio. Unwind from the day and get ready for the weekend with $2 tacos featuring Claybrook Farms and Lake's Catfish and special summer cocktails. Thursdays on the patio at Felicia Suzanne's. We're located on Main Street between Monroe and Madison Avenues with parking on Front Street. Visit FeliciaSuzanne.com.
Tunica's Horseshoe Casino proudly presents Gin Blossoms and Tonic. Gin and Tonic Tour, live in concert. Multi-platinum rockers Gin Blossoms and alt rock chart toppers Tonic, live. The Gin and Tonic Tour. If you kid on this. Tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets or visit horseshoetunica.com for more details. Ages 18 and up must be 21 or older to gamble. Don't want to stop before you start gambling. Problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Come home to Chapel Cove with today's perks deal. Half off 2 tickets to the 2019 Vesta Home Show in the Chapel Cove subdivision in Germantown. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, because all that fades.
Zion Williamson was in action last night for the Pelicans against the Chicago Bulls on national television. Took 13 shots, made 12 of them, finished with 29 points. Incredible performance. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. Ahmad Brooks from ESPN, who's going to be color analyst for Memphis Temple on Saturday. He's going to join me about 5:25, 5:30. But right now, he's a college basketball analyst for ESPN. It's Jay Billis. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Hey, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Gary. How you doing?
Everything's perfect. I appreciate your time, and I want to get into your time in Memphis. You spent with Penny Hardaway on campus yesterday. But first, you're a smart guy. You're also a former elite athlete. When you watch Clayton Kershaw last night, and afterward, he sort of says, you know, what people say about me in the playoffs, I guess it's true. You know, I failed again on this big stage. Again, this is such a big example of a drastic difference between what this guy is in the regular season and what he is in the postseason. How much of it is a mental thing compared to whatever else it could possibly be? Because that's the biggest story in sports today. I think we lost Jay Billis there. Phone got disconnected somehow. But I'm just interested, like, what do other athletes think when they watch somebody who's so incredibly gifted and blessed with unreal ability and an incredible track record of high-level success to the extent that he's won all of the individual awards, he's made $260 million, and yet on this big, big stage, he comes up short once again. Jay, I think you heard most of what I said, but just I'm interested in your thoughts on when you watch somebody of the level of Clayton Kershaw fail once again in the postseason, how do you make sense of that?
Well, I'm still trying to make sense of it because I grew up in Los Angeles and I'm a gigantic Dodger fan. So I was watching that game just with my heart in my throat for him. I can't make sense of it. How you can be sort of one of the all-time greats in the regular season and have that kind of luck, if you want to call it luck, in postseason. And especially, you know, he's only given up 2 back-to-back home runs twice in his career, and both have been in the postseason.
Right.
And it's really stunning. But he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. But, you know, the Dodgers haven't won the World Series since 1988. And they're kind of looking like the, you know, the Braves did back when they had, you know, Smoltz and Glavine and Maddox and all those guys, and they were, you know, they were either in the playoffs or the World Series every year, but couldn't seem to knock the door down. That's becoming the feeling with the Dodgers right now. It's killing me.
Yeah, my condolences. That was rough to watch. And like, if it's possible to muster sympathy for somebody as incredibly gifted and wealthy as Clayton Kershaw, like, I felt sick for the guy last night, because you know that I don't care how much money you got, that eats at you pretty intensely. I'm talking to Jay Billis here from ESPN. Like I mentioned, you were on campus yesterday with Penny Hardaway. What did you learn from Penny Hardaway?
One, he's the real deal. You know, I hadn't really known him before yesterday and spent much time with him, but he's the real deal. And there's an energy, you know, Gary, you're around it all the time. There's an energy around that program that is really impressive. And what a bunch of good guys they have on that team. James Wiseman blew me away. Just an engaging kid that's a great player. And just thinks on a different level, and a little bit like Zion Williamson last year, where, you know, different personalities a little bit, but similar in that that it's not all about them. I mean, whatever they do, they're bringing their teammates along with them, and they're not going to try to stand out from their teammates aside from the way they play. So I was really impressed, and look, they're really young, so are they going to have some growing pains and all that stuff? Yes. But I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year if we're talking about them among the you know, the truly elite teams, because I'm not sure this year is going to be one of those years where you know, you've got a bunch of teams that sort of separate. I think there's going to be a lot of volatility this year.
Well, even Michigan State, you know, they are most people's preseason number one, and I guess they should be, or certainly in the conversation. Reigning Big Ten Player of the Year, 32 wins last season, returned three of the top four scores, went to the Final Four. But, like, it's weird because that's a college basketball team that is the betting favorite to win the championship, and yet I don't think they've got a lottery pick on the roster. I'm not sure they've got a first-round pick on the roster. So it does seem to, you know, set up, as you point out, like, it's a little more wide open than maybe it feels in other years.
It feels that way. Yeah, it feels that way. We'll see. I mean, you know, I always like to use 2015 as the example of a year where, you know, I felt like we knew who the best teams were. You know, it was Kentucky, Duke, and Wisconsin, yep. And that was it. And if it would be a gigantic upset if they didn't get to the Final Four, and all three of them did. So I don't think this year is shaping up like one of them. And I was at ACC Media Day the other day. We were talking about players that were coming back and everything. And it was kind of hard. Yeah, you almost had to sit down with a piece of paper and write them down that, you know, who's really good that's back. And it turned out they're of the top 15 players in the league last year, the top, you know, sort of three first-team All-ACC, second-team All-ACC, third-team All-ACC, there were two players back out of the 15. And they were both third-team All-ACC. It was John Mooney of Notre Dame and Jordan Wara of Louisville. And I was telling somebody, like, God, I can't remember that ever happening before. And it was Rick Bozich. And Rick said, well, it's never happened before. And I go, well, maybe that's why I can't remember. I felt better about not remembering it. But that's the kind of year it seems like. And I don't think it's just the ACC. I think it's a lot of different leagues that lost a lot of their top talent. And so somebody else is going to have to step forward.
I'm talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jay Billis. Back to Penny Hardaway. He's created lots of headlines for lots of different reasons. A, for just being the coach of his alma mater. B, for securing the number one recruit in the country, and by extension, the number one recruiting class in the country. C, by predicting recently to our friend Dane O'Neill at The Athletic that he's going to win a national championship this year at Memphis. How is all of this stuff playing outside of the market? Obviously, people here love it. I'm curious, how does it play in ACC country or outside of the Memphis market?
I don't know. I haven't heard much about it. I haven't heard people complaining about it. It's not been like a Baker Mayfield type deal.
Right.
But I know that it's been a disrupt. You know, he's been a disruptor. And I mean that in, like, he's getting players. And people now are looking to Memphis going, uh-oh, you know, this is an issue. How good they're going to be, and the fact that you know, guys, you had two guys last year, Boogie Ellis and what was it, DJ, that decommitted.
Right.
So you got a guy, one guy decommitted from Duke, the other guy decommitted from Kentucky. And that doesn't happen very often, and that raises some eyebrows. So, but the thing I like about it, Gary, is that you know, it may sound brash to people who didn't hear the context or didn't hear the tone of it, but it's not been disrespectful in any way. I think it's been one of these things of like, no, look, this is a competition, and we're entered into it, and we want what's ours. And I think when you hear it out of Penny Hardaway's mouth or the players, like all the players are really like respectful, nice young people, and all the coaches are really respectful of the process and you know, like who's come up sort of the harder, more unconventional way than Penny Hardaway has. Like he could have coached in the NBA and then, you know, tried to come into college. He coached in high school and AAU. And then did this. So he's worked his way up, and it's really impressive to see what's being accomplished there. And obviously, you know, but like I don't know what we want. You know, people who might not like it, I don't know what they want them to say. They want them to say, hey, you know, we're going to give it the good old college try and see what happens. You know, everybody's goal should be to win a national championship. That's a good thing. So just because he voiced it, I think that's good, not bad.
I'm talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. You mentioned earlier that, yeah, there probably will be some bumps in the road. And I agree with you because, you know, they're likely to start five freshmen, and that's a rare thing in college basketball. And there's no example of a coach starting five freshmen and not having bumps in the road. Everybody remembers the Fab Five getting to the national championship game. What people don't remember is they went 11-7 in the Big Ten and got a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. Meantime, your old coach has, you know, in recent years been relying heavily, including last season, on first-year players, one-and-done guys, similar to the roster Penny has at his disposal this year. Do you have a sense for just how difficult it is to coach or to be this reliant on first-year players? Because I get the sense that it's more difficult than John Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski probably make it look.
Yeah, I think it is more difficult. It's just sort of the process is accelerated, and you're not building for next year and taking lumps for next year. Everything's got to be this year, and because you don't know that you're going to have anybody back. And in fact, you know, there's no guarantee that Trey Jones is going to come back. You have no idea. So I think it becomes more important to have some older players that you can put in leadership roles, even though it's difficult to lead when you're not among the best players. So, I mean, he's asking, like this year, he's asking Jack White and Javon Delorier, both seniors, to be confident leaders when neither one of them are going to be among the top five scorers on the team, most likely. They weren't last year, and they're unlikely to be this year. Maybe they will be. Who knows? But this year's team for Duke will be a little bit different because they're not going to have the super dominant scorers that they had last year. You know, last year, I think, R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson combined for, like, 45, 46 points a game. And then you had, you know, the eighth pick in the draft that scored 13, 14 a game. And that, you know, that's a lot of air taken out of the room. They're going to have more guys that are contributors at a higher level this year to be really good. And I think they will be. But part of it, Gary, as we were talking about before, is, well, how good are the individual teams going to be? And then the other part is how good is the competition they're going to face? Because, you know, some of these, like the ACC, I'd be surprised if the ACC is as powerful this year as it was last year. So it's an opportunity for some of the teams that were in the bottom half of the league last year to try to make a move up. And, you know, will Louisville be the best team in the league? They could be. You know, that's going to be interesting. Same thing in the SEC. The SEC is going to be really good again. But where's the power in the league going to be? Like Kentucky and Florida are their two best teams, I think. You know, what's going to happen with the teams that were in the bottom of the league? You know, how are they going to react, and how are they going to do against one another that's going to vault them up in the top half?
Wrapping up here with Jay Billis from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go. Earlier this week, your old coach, Mike Krzyzewski, came out in favor of student-athletes being allowed to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. He said he was glad that California passed SB 206 the way California passed SB 206. I know this is a topic that you're passionate about. It's a topic that I'm passionate about. Ultimately, how much does Mike's voice help this cause? And how far do you think the NCAA is going to be willing to go as it tries to, I guess, meet somewhere with California law and other state laws that are sure to come?
I think Coach K's voice in this is going to be received largely based upon what you think of him. If there, you know, Gary, there are people out there that love him. There are people out there that don't care for him. And most of it has to do with whether they're Duke fans or not Duke fans.
Right.
So, you know, like there are certain times when he's in a room, if he wants to get something passed, if he's against it, it has a better chance of passing,
right.
You know, stuff like that. So I don't know how it's going to ultimately be received. I think it's good when everybody speaks their mind. You know, like Mark Few said something the other day about, I think it was a bit of a misstep in the way he characterized it, but he got pilloried for it.
Right.
I think it's better when we sort of, you know, argue the point rather than the person making the point and all that stuff. I think that gets lost a little bit. But I do think that to the second part of your question, what is the NCAA going to do about this? Very little. I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement. And I think that's been forecast by Gene Smith, who's co-chairing the Committee on Name, Image, and Likeness with Val Ackerman. Gene Smith, as you know, is the AD at Ohio State, and basically all he has said is, well, this is incredibly complicated, and how could we ever figure it out, as if it's some gigantic Rubik's Cube. And they can certainly figure it out when the money's going into their pockets. When it's going to somebody else, they can't figure it out. I don't think they're going to do anything. What I do think ultimately will happen is I think the NCAA is going to wind up suing the state of California and trying to get this into the court system. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But Congress has taken this up, and that's sort of the big stick in this. And then the Justice Department has also been active in looking into this, sort of their antitrust division. They had a workshop on this a few weeks ago. So it's sort of the nightmare scenario in a way for the NCAA is they've got government. And honestly, I'm surprised by this. I didn't think government would – whether it's the federal government or state governments, would get this far, and I couldn't have imagined any state would pass what California did unanimously with the governor signing it. And I kind of thought the way Governor Newsom handled it, not that it was bad, you know, he can do whatever he wants, but boy, it seemed like it was very much a middle finger to the NCAA saying, hey, we're California, and you're going to move on this, whether you like it or not, because California's doing it. And I was a little surprised by that. It didn't bother me, but I was a little surprised by it.
Yeah, I was too. That is Jay Billis from ESPN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @JayBillis. Last thing, do you know when we'll be able to see your time with Penny on ESPN or wherever it is going to be broadcast?
I don't know. I mean, I think we'll see it at different parts during the season. I know the first game I've got with Memphis is going to be in Portland when they play Oregon on November 12th. So my guess is it'll play before then, because that'll probably be the first sort of really, you know, kind of big TV game they've got, at least on our air. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in action. They're going to be really good. I don't know how soon they're going to be really good, but it's going to happen.
That's awesome. I will then try to get you back on here before that game, and we'll talk about that in more detail then. Jay, you're the best, man. I appreciate you being here.
Great being with you, brother. Thank you.
I'll see you. That's Jay Billis from ESPN on Twitter. @JayBillis, and he said he'll be on the call for Memphis, Oregon, that game in November in Portland. So we'll get Jay back on to discuss that as it gets closer, because that's probably going to be a matchup between two top 20 teams, two teams that enrolled top 10 recruiting classes. Just like Memphis has two five-star prospects, so does Oregon, one of whom, C.J. Walker, who is from Orlando and was recruited by Memphis after Penny saw him go off at Peach Gym a couple of summers ago. So that's going to be a really good early test for both young teams, because, you know, Dana Altman's got more coming back than Penny does at Oregon, if only because Peyton Pritchard's back. And, you know, he's a possible, if not probable, preseason Pac-12 player of the year. But they're going to be relying on first-year players, same way Memphis is going to be relying on first-year players. So that'll be a good early test for both of those teams. Big thanks to Jay Billis for being here. When we come back, Zion Williamson was on national television last night. Pelicans and Bulls, 12 of 13 from the field, 29 points. First rookie to score 29 points in a preseason game in 3 years. He looks just as awesome in the NBA as he was looking in college. Turns out all these easy looks he got in college, he can get them at the very least in NBA preseason games. Talk Zion next.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. We'll also have a dolphin chatter excitedly in front of the perfect candidate. Okay, there's no dolphin. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face. And there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Going to a big football game? Walking around all day? Then you'll want comfortable shoes. Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Score a touchdown with a new pair of ultra-comfortable running or walking shoes from the New Balance Memphis store. At the New Balance Memphis store, we are the champions when it comes to getting you exactly the right shoes for your needs. Are you into walking or perhaps running? Whatever your style, we'll make sure you get the right shoes with the perfect fit. It's like having a personal trainer for your feet. Come into the New Balance Memphis store and give us a chance to earn your business. We've got the most sizes, the largest selection of widths, and the inspiration to get you moving. We'll make sure you have the perfect fit, and we'll treat you like the starting QB. Our job is to make sure your feet are happy. Visit the New Balance Memphis store, located in the Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway, behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis. Your feet will thank you.
There's a chance your local Geico agent owns the same designer dog breed as you.
Wait, you own a Chihuahua too?
Half bulldog, half Chihuahua, 100% lovable? Oh yeah.
So many wrinkles, such a tiny face.
But there's a better chance your local Geico agent could help you out with auto, homeowners, renters, or condo insurance. Motorcycle, boat, or RV insurance too. They'll work hard to provide sound advice and significant savings. You don't need a chic, wrinkle-faced pup to do that. Local Geico agents. Call or visit yours today.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
It's hot outside, but there is something that's hotter than the temperatures these days, and you guessed it. It's the deals at James Davis. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. One of the best clothing stores in the United States. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports. But you need to understand, they have so much more than suits. They have 5-pocket pants in every fabric and fit. And good news, the brand new Stant Custom Fit fabrics for fall have arrived. I know you've heard me talk about these Stant Custom Fit dress shirts before, but it's worth repeating. You get 3 measurements taken at James Davis, and 10 minutes later, you're going to have a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in just 9 days. They start at only $98. Trust me when I tell you, once you get Stant Custom Fit shirts, you'll never buy off the rack again. Paul Bettany suits are still 2 for only $7.95 at James Davis. So if you got a wedding party, don't rent tuxedos. That's a waste. Get suits for your groomsmen, suits that fit perfectly and can be used again. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis, Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and autopay. Offer ends 11/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Penny Hardaway. I'm here to tell you that since I was a kid,
When I wanted the best Memphis barbecue, I would go to Corky's. Getting together with family, friends, or the team, the best way to celebrate is over slow-smoked hickory barbecue and the other great food at Corky's. And by the way, tell them Penny sent you.
Need new tires? Check out the all-new Cooper Discoverer AT Truck and SUV Tire. With superior highway performance and handling on rocky and gravel roads. Cooper Tires, American-owned since 1914. Now available exclusively at your Walmart Auto Care Center.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30, get a $100 travel reward credit with a full synthetic oil change through October 31st, 2019. Terms apply. Visit Pennzoil.com/travel on.
Workplace injury, dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross.
Memphis is known for barbecue, but there's only one place in the area where you can actually get world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company. And the reason you can get world championship barbecue is because Melissa Cookston is the owner, 8-time world champ, and the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. In fact, check this out. She has been invited to cook at the James Beard House in New York City on November 2nd, so early next month. That's a massive honor, one of the most prestigious honors any chef can receive. Melissa is going to be there in NYC on November 2nd, and you can get her barbecue at Memphis Barbecue Company. You can order online if you want to. It's great for lunch or dinner, and they can cater if you need a party catered. No party is too big or too small. You can check out the menu at memphisbbqco.com. MemphisBBQCO.com. The ribs are prepared multiple times a day to make sure whether you're in there at 2 in the afternoon or 8 o'clock at night, you're going to have fresh from the cooker quality. And when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is going to be hand-pulled right then, not a moment earlier. You looking for great barbecue? If you're in Memphis, jump on 55 South. It's at Goodman Road exit. You can see it from the interstate. 709 DeSoto Cove is the address. Go check the website, MemphisBBQCO.com. That's Memphis Barbecue Company. On the web, MemphisBBQCO.com. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get into hashtag playoff Kershaw. And if it's possible to muster sympathy for somebody who is as accomplished and wealthy as Clayton Kershaw, truth is, I felt sick for the guy watching him go through that last night. I'll talk to Jeff about it a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So I had the main TV on the NLDS game between the Dodgers and Nationals last night. Another television on preseason NBA action. Pelicans and Bulls were on national TV. And New Orleans won. Came from behind. Went at 127-125. That was not the story, though. The story was Zion Williamson. He was 12 of 13 from the field. Finished with 29 points. First rookie to score 29 points in a preseason game since I believe it was in the past 3 years. His 12 of 13 from the field set all sorts of records. All 13 of the field goal attempts came from inside 5 feet. And I saw a tweet last night from somebody, and I thought it just summarized what we're watching perfectly. You know, the tweet was something along the lines of, all those shots that Zion got in high school that everybody was sure he wouldn't be able to get in college, but then, you know, we watched him get them in college, and then everybody was sure, yeah, but he won't be able to do that in the NBA. He's doing that now in the NBA. He's 12 of 13 from the field, 29 points, everything at the rim. And it was just remarkable to watch. At this point, you've probably seen the highlights if you follow the NBA at all. It's just you can't keep him from scoring around the rim. It doesn't matter. If you're taller than him, he'll go around you. If you are his same size, he'll just go through you.
he's a 6'6", 285-pound thing, unlike anything we've ever seen. And I thought the quotes from Jim Boland, the Bulls coach, were terrific. I mean, in his first quote about Zion Williamson, he said, "I was amazed, amazed, amazed," two different times. That's an NBA head coach talking about a 19-year-old rookie. And I was amazed to watch the body control of a guy that big. Amazed to watch him get to the rim when it didn't look like he'd be able to get to the rim. Like, he's just slithering by people. A guy his size, 6'6", 285 pounds. I've said this before. I don't think it's hyperbole. There's nobody else on the planet, Zion Williamson's side, who moves like Zion Williamson. There is no other 6'6", 285-pound person on the planet who moves the way he moves, jumps the way he jumps, bounces the way he bounces. And I know it's just the preseason, and the regular season is different, and the playoffs are even different than that. But my God, when he just dunks everything because you can't stop him from doing it, it does look a lot like high school, and it does look a lot like college. And if you were somebody who were a big believer that not only are the Pelicans drafting the best prospect in the 2019 NBA draft, but a guy who is going to be a real franchise changer at the highest level of this sport, there ain't much that happened last night that would make you think anything differently, because Zion was awesome.
Story number two.
It doesn't look like things are getting any better between the NBA and China over there in Asia. Did you see this earlier today?
Yes.
The Rockets were holding a press conference. James Harden and Russell Westbrook were there. And obviously it's their general manager who got all this started with a tweet last Friday night. And a reporter, in advance of a game being played in Tokyo, a reporter from CNN asked James Harden and Russell Westbrook if they would, quote, feel differently about speaking out going forward, given the issues that have become real issues in China. And before either could answer, and it didn't seem like either one was anxious to, like, jump in and answer.
Right.
But before either could answer, somebody working with the Rockets media relations staff interrupted the question and said that the players would only be taking basketball-related questions. Now, the NBA came back and released a statement this afternoon and said that was inappropriate. Not the question, but the media relations coordinator for the Rockets stepping in. Like, we're not a league trying to protect our players from talking. They can talk, you can ask them whatever you want to ask them, and they can answer it however they want to answer it. But that's something they should have resolved early, because it's a terrible visual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, already, for sincere reasons or insincere reasons, I'll let other people decide. But already, you've got people jumping on James Harden, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr. You know, these NBA people, folks connected to the sport, who have been speaking out for years against all sorts of things. Gun violence, police brutality, the president. And suddenly, they have been undeniably less vocal about China. And so you've got people piling on that, like really putting putting in bold letters. Oh, why aren't you guys talking now? You love to badmouth President Trump. You love to badmouth dirty cops. You love to speak up against gun laws that you think are too lax, but now you can't even speak up against communist China? What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
So you've already got people thinking they're not being vocal enough on this particular subject. And then you've got this moment caught on video where somebody who works for an NBA team steps in and says, nope, you don't ask our players anything that doesn't have something to do with basketball. Can't do that if you're in the NBA.
No.
You can talk to your players about how to answer these very delicate questions. You can train them. You can even advise them to just stay away from it. But you can't have the moment where somebody steps in and tries to limit the questions, the type of questions that are being asked of NBA players, because it just plays right into the hands of what the people being critical of these NBA players and NBA coaches, it plays right into their hands. Meantime, the game featuring the Lakers in China was played, but no media availability after the game.
I saw that.
which was a little surprising that at least for me, that the NBA would agree to that. Because Adam Silver did, after, I think, fumbling this initially, come back and at least draw a line in the sand, so to speak, and say, we're not going to apologize for what Daryl Morey said. We encourage people who work in our league to express themselves freely, and that is Daryl Morey expressing himself freely. Whether we agree with him or not is neither here nor there, but we do not object to him speaking up the way he spoke up. We regret the way it was received. We regret some of the things we're dealing with now, but we do not apologize on behalf of Daryl Morey. So Adam Silver sort of drew the line there, and I thought that at that point, maybe if the Chinese government comes in and says, you can play your game here, but your players will not speak to the media, I thought maybe the NBA would just go, well, no, that's not the way we do things. Our players are our voices. Our players will talk. Mm-hmm. What they say, we'll see. But you're not going to...
O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!